Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
This hour of Jake and Stacy brought to you by Pendergast Law. I am very excited for our next guest and for this topic because our guest is very fun and a friend of the show, and also the topic is very important and can also be very fun. Michelle Ludka-Furbush is here. She is an Emmy award-winning sports anchor and an ambassador for Wise Seattle. So first of all, Michelle, welcome to Jake and Stacy. Secondly, we wanted to talk to you about what Wise Seattle is and also a very important award that's going to be opening up starting yesterday, at least.
Absolutely. First of all, thanks so much, you guys, for having me here.
Happy to have you.
Big fan of the show. Excited to be in here to talk about all the fun things about this program. So I'm on the board of a group called WISE, which stands for Women in Sports and Events. It's a nationwide networking nonprofit organization that basically works to encourage, empower, and educate women professionals in the sports and events industries through professional development, mentorship, and, of course, networking opportunities. It's really great. There's 24 chapters in total. Like I said, I'm part of the Seattle chapter, and we just launched this brand new program just a few days ago. With the thanks of our friends here at Seattle Sports, called Women of Inspiration. And it's a program that's very near and dear to my heart. I'm heading it up, where essentially we are seeking out a woman or multiple women in our community that do everything that what our chapter stands for. Like I said, encouraging, empowering, evolving, basically trying to find someone who goes the extra mile. This could be a coach, it could be a colleague, it could be you, it could be, you know, a mentor. Anyone who's involved in sports and events and is giving back. Like I said, we have the main three principles of encourage, empower, and evolving. That's basically, we want a diversity and an inclusive community, helping people with personal and professional growth in the sports and events industry, and then also really working to set up the industry so it continues to thrive for years to come.
So this sounds like an amazing thing. And obviously this is something that I is near and dear to my heart as I work with Stacy every single day, work with all the amazing, you know, women in the city, and then, you know, have a daughter and wanting her to have people to look up to and inspire to be and everything else. But why was it so important for you guys, as you guys were setting this chapter up, to have this award and to have this chapter here in Seattle?
Well, that's a great question. And first of all, I would like to plug, I will talk about how you can nominate people, but
yes.
Maybe Jake, but
yes.
Mine, we should be nominating our girl Stacy over here.
Oh. I've already nominated myself.
Consider it.
I haven't nominated myself.
Consider it done.
But yes, no, Seattle's a new chapter to the organization. It was actually launched in January of 2020, which we all know how challenging 2020 was, and then therefore on for, what are we, 2 years after 2020 now at this point? And so we're kind of almost relaunching this year, finally getting to do in-person events and different things like that. During the pandemic, we did mostly virtual events as everybody else did. But our Seattle chapter really was just trying to find a place for women of like-minded interests can come together, support each other, and can grow professionally. We put on different events every single month, second Tuesday of every month. They're free for the most part to members. And it ranges in topics of supporting each other with help with our resumes to, we just did an event a couple days ago out at Inner Bay where we were taking golf lessons together, because we all know how much work gets done really on the golf course. And a lot of times women don't feel like they're comfortable to do that. I can't even tell you how many times I got invited to go play in charity golf tournaments when I was working as a sportscaster. And I literally went out and took lessons so I could learn, so I could do it.
Or you're not invited in the first place.
Place. Or you show up and you're the one female,
like,
quote-unquote celebrity, and you're just like, please don't look at my swing.
No, don't use quotes for celebrity.
But yeah, it's an amazing thing that Seattle, these women who've come together in Seattle to found this chapter. I cannot take credit. I did not join WISE until March of 2021, but it was started by an amazing group of women who work at the Mariners, at the Seahawks, at Amazon, at BDA Sports, and then on. The Sounders, I mean, and the Kraken. And we've got people involved from all different types of walks of life. And I was actually brought in a year ago with the intention of launching this particular program. Something that's always been near and dear to my heart. is honoring and showcasing stories of athletes and mm-hmm. people in sports that we don't necessarily hear on the major headlines. And unfortunately, a lot of times that is women in sports. But I think, as Stacey, you see this probably firsthand too, there's such a cool, I hate saying sisterhood, it sounds so cheesy, but there's a really cool, unique group of women in the Pacific Northwest who are interested in sports, who love sports, who want to support each other in sports and our careers in sports. And so the Women of Inspiration Award was kind of just all of this coming together of what our chapter really means and a way to acknowledge people doing all the things we love. And one of the coolest things is that we're taking nominations. We're obviously going to be recognizing women and their what they're doing to support the sports and events industry in Seattle. But also at the end of it, our winner will receive a cash donation on behalf of WISE and our other partners that will go directly to the nonprofit or the organization or the cause kind of their choice as to why they would have been nominated in the first place. So it's a really great way to give back.
So again, that website is womenofinspirationseattle.org. And let's backtrack just a second. If I'm someone, let's just say I'm a random, like I'm a parent of a couple kids and I'm driving in my car, I'm listening to you, Michelle, talk to us right now about this award. And I'm thinking, well, who am I going to nominate? Like, why does this? It matters to me because maybe I have a daughter or I have kids and they're involved in sports and all of this matters to me. But how do I know how I can get involved? Because I think that for that person, it might seem a little abstract, but it can be anyone being nominated.
It really can. It could be someone at your Boys and Girls Club that is volunteering their time to coach your kids, boys or girls, basketball or how to learn pickleball or, you know, something like that. It could be someone at your child's high school that is volunteering their time to coach a team. It could be someone that maybe you work with in your own organization that volunteers their time for. There's two in particular nonprofits that come to mind, Girls on the Run and Z Girls, which are both amazing sports organizations encouraging athletics in young girls in our community. Maybe it's someone who volunteers with that. It could be pretty much anyone. The only thing, obviously, we are women in sports and events, so it should be someone who probably follows under the women category. Jake,
but
I'm sorry. You do great things, but I'm going to go with Stacey on this one.
But this woman doesn't have to be just helping young women. It could be just a woman who is being involved in the sports and events community at large, but in a way that is helping to grow and foster that community and just make it healthier and better for everyone.
Absolutely. And it doesn't just have to be sports. I know we're on a sports program here. Obviously, I have a sports background. Sports is very passionate to me, but sports and events really go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Maybe it's someone in your organization who is amazing at putting on events, who is helping other people in your company, you know, showcase the best way to bring people together and put on events if they're for a charity, if they're for profit, you know, those kind of things. So it really, there are no rules, which is the coolest part. When you go to womenofinspirationseattle.org, there is a nomination form. It's a couple simple questions asking you to detail how this individual, or again, could be yourself, is living by the principles of WISE Seattle. The panel will take these nominations until August. Let's see, I have the date written down here. August 12th is when our nominations will close. From there, we'll select three finalists that we will highlight their story to try and share the good work that they are doing. And then you, the public, are open to vote on who out of the three finalists you would like to see win the actual award, get the money. That will all close in October. Winner will be announced November 1st.
That's obviously very exciting. And Michelle, there's no question the passion that you have for this. And, you know, just want to ask you kind of a deeper question is, why are you so passionate about this? Why did you get involved personally in this? Because this seems to be something that is near and dear to your heart. And why does this matter to you?
Jake, I'm glad you asked me that question. I appreciate that. This is a story probably not a lot of people know. I mean, if you're close to me, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. I grew up here in the Pacific Northwest, went to Issaquah High School. I played all the sports.
I'm so sorry.
You know.
Go Spartans.
You know what? I believe when I was there, we beat Skyline my senior year. So, you know.
Michelle's going to do the hair flip. Well, excuse me.
But yeah, I grew up here. You know, this is my community. I grew up going to the Kingdome. I grew up watching the Mariners and the Seahawks and the Storm and the Sonics. And I loved sports so much. It was a passion that I shared very dearly with my father. I played all the games, and I was lucky enough to be raised in a household where there were no restrictions on what I could do. My family, my parents raised me to think I could compete, and every door was open to me just the same way it would be if I had been a boy. Mm-hmm. But as I got older, I realized that that wasn't the case for all girls that I was growing up with. I saw the drop off of my peers of women participating in sports when I got into high school, and I saw that there were so few opportunities to see women on TV, in sports, to see those role models, and it made me sad. And I kind of, you know, in my young mind, was a feminist before I even knew I was a feminist. And I thought in high school, you know, if I can do something to help women in sports, I would like to do that with my life. So when I was 16, decided I wanted to be a sportscaster. Sorry, you're in for a way longer story than you probably
know. No, this is exactly what I wanted.
I told you I could fill time, guys. So when I was 16, I decided I wanted to be a sportscaster because my thought was, if I ever got a big enough platform, I could use that platform to highlight different stories and tell, you know, shine the light on stories and athletes that, again, we don't always hear about in the mainstream. So mm-hmm. that set me on a course. I was lucky enough to work in this market for about 10 years as a sportscaster and share a ton of those stories, which has been amazing. And throughout my journey as being a sportscaster, I've volunteered wherever I could for different nonprofit organizations. I mentioned Z Girls earlier. I worked with them for years in a mentorship capacity, mentoring 12, 13-year-old girls about the values you get out of sports, confidence, body awareness, teamwork. I mean, the list goes on and on. And then I actually, Wise reached out to me over a year ago because they wanted me to MC one of their events. And at the time, I hadn't heard of Wise because it was, again, a new organization here in Seattle. And I was honored. I led a panel with pretty much all the female VPs over at the Seahawks. It was virtual. It was amazing. I loved it. And I reached out to them the next day and I was like, how do I keep doing this? How can I continue to be involved? I think what you guys are doing is amazing. Stacey, you and I, we've had a relationship for years. You know, I love the women. Not that I don't love the men in this market.
No, it's but, very supportive.
But it's a very special place to be a woman in sports in this market. Yeah. And unfortunately, that's not how it is everywhere in the country or the world. And so whatever I can do to give back to foster that growth of, mm-hmm. of what those women were for me when I was coming up in my career, mm-hmm. I want to do the same.
Well, and so, I think that foster, you're right. And also that this supportive community of women is also really important. But being able to get the community at large involved mm-hmm. in recognizing how important that is also a big part of it. Like, you can be a dad listening whose daughter's involved in sports, and maybe you nominate her coach for this award because you love what she's doing in the community. And recognizing that overall you want an environment, should your daughter decide to get into sports or events, right? We talked mm-hmm. about broadcasting. It's a huge yes. world. It's not just being a sports anchor, even though that's the background you're from. It's doing anything mm-hmm. in sports business, right? That the community can be even better by the time she's ready to mm-hmm. Start her journey there when we do things like this and when we recognize people that are doing great things mm-hmm. to foster that environment. And you, Jake, with River, who's a teeny tiny baby, that she can ideally come up in a world where she can do anything she wants to do. And that all of that's very important, near and dear to your heart, obviously, as a dad. Mm-hmm. Michelle, you said it perfectly. It is a wonderful community, and I do want to stress that to people. And this award is so wide open, and you can find more information at womenofinspirationseattle.org. Nominations are open now. They opened yesterday. Like Michelle said, they go through August 12th. So nominations are open pretty much all summer. Top three finalists are announced September 14th. Winners announced November 1st. The award honors a female in our community who exemplifies the pillars upon which Wise Seattle was founded. So making a positive impact in the business of sports and events, and also serving as a positive role model and mentor for other women. Like Michelle said, the winner, it's a pretty cool prize. Not only do you get the recognition and a year-long Wise membership, but also a cash donation to the organization of your choice. If you guys have any more information, can people just like tweet at you and ask you questions?
Absolutely.
Where can they find you?
Fine. I'm still on Twitter. At Michelle. Am I at Michelle Ledko? Or I'm either at Michelle Ledko or at Michelle underscore Ledko.
Yes. I'm looking at
Jake,
it right now.
You.
At
thank
Michelle
you.
Ledko right now.
You can tweet at me, but also you can find Wise Seattle, yseattle.org, Wise Seattle on Facebook, Wise Seattle on Instagram. We've got just such an incredible network of women working and volunteering their time at this organization. I can't say enough good things. So find us, send us your questions. And even if you're unsure, if you're like, I think I have someone to nominate,
right,
but I'm not sure, nominate them anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's what's so cool about this is it's so open-ended that we're really excited to see the variety of nominees that we get with this contest.
Oh, can I throw on one last thing,
yes,
too? It's just such a related point to that sometimes that person is making a bigger impact than even we realize.
Yes.
Like, you might be thinking, oh, like, you know, this is probably for someone that has, like, an entire organization that they started as a grassroots campaign. It could literally be a little league coach.
Exactly.
It could be a volunteer at your kid's school. It could be a young woman who's doing something at her college campus, right? Like, it
mm-hmm.
could be a number of things, because all of those are more impactful than sometimes we even realize.
Exactly. I literally had this conversation with a girlfriend the other day when I was telling her about it. She was like, oh, I have a friend who's literally trying to start a dance program for inner city kids. Boom. There you go.
Done.
But it can go all the way too, for if we have any, you know, people listening right now, that maybe there's a female on your board. You work at a sports business company and she just doesn't get the recognition she fully deserves. And you want to do something nice to shine light on what a big part she is of your company. I mean, the spectrum is huge.
Yeah. You're with Amazon, and there's a woman who's amazing with all the events and handling all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Events too. All right. She is Michelle Ledko-Furbush, Emmy Award-winning sports anchor and ambassador for Wise Seattle. Also a friend of ours. Michelle, thank you for taking the time. We appreciate it. If you guys have any more questions, like Michelle said, tweet at Michelle. You can text into the show 206-421-3776. If you need that website again, any more information.
I just wanted to say one last thing.
Yes.
Of just, first of all, thank you guys for having me on. But lastly,
of course,
also,
thank
Seattle,
you for coming.
Seattle Sports has stepped up huge, being our exclusive media partner of this award. And we are so excited for everything you guys are doing to try and shine the light on not only our program, but on the whole group as a whole. And we are so, so thankful for everything that Seattle Sports is doing with this partnership.
We've loved partnering with you guys. Obviously, knowing so much of you guys, too,
yes,
since all the people behind the scenes, we all know each other, and it's such a great sports community. But also, as like a sports station in general, you're like, well, you're part of the community. That's how you think of yourself,
mm-hmm,
right? We go out and watch these games, but also it's Seattle. It's part of the broader community. And so giving back is important.
But I also think being a part of the forefront of this attitude and of this thought process and of being inclusive with everybody in sports, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Enjoying the game with whoever wants to enjoy it and making everyone feel a part of the party. And not only can they be a part of the party, but that they can excel in this group. I mean, that is something that we as a community that we want to embrace and want to continue to promote here on Seattle Sports.
All right. You guys do a great job of it. So thank you for all you guys do.
Well, thank you for joining us today. She's Michelle Ledko-Furbush. Michelle, thanks so much. This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Pendergast Law. Curtis, we got a couple minutes here. Let's go to headline rewrites quickly.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacey.
Headline number one, the full 2022 NFL schedule will be revealed in like 5 hours from now. Oh man, the anticipation. What's the real headline?
We had no idea. Wait.
You didn't?
No. What?
Oh,
I thought I hadn't heard that the schedule was coming out. I haven't been hearing about this.
Really? I thought
no,
it was
no
I thought
idea.
It was, you know, the party has been planned for months. You're getting ready to order the pizza, you're getting ready to order the wings. Everything's ready to go.
I mean,
this, have you not been waiting for this all year long? Move over,
first
Super
of
Bowl.
All.
Schedule release. Here we come. This is the main event.
Schedule.
Second headline.
Man, I can't wait.
Headline rewrites.
Schedule.
Headline number two. Robinson Cano reportedly close to signing with the San Diego Padres.
Wow, there you go.
What's the real headline?
The Mariners-Cano reunion we all saw coming. Who didn't see this one coming, right? Now, that reunion obviously not happening with the Mets since he is no longer with the Mets. That would have been interesting, though, to see the meeting of that trade. happening. But instead, the Mariners are still scheduled to play the Padres, both here in Seattle and on the road. Mm-hmm. The latter coming first in July. So you could see Cano, assuming he's not suspended.
Now, I would love for that reunion to end up happening, see how that goes. But I'm going to ask you both, what do you think the likelihood of that reunion actually happening is going to be? Whether it's Cano getting hurt or whether it's Cano potentially getting suspended again.
I think it's more likely he gets hurt than he actually gets suspended for PEDs. Ah. I think just as an older player, it's going to happen.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
I mean, especially if he's not using the PEDs to, you know, help with his recovery and all that. I mean, he's more susceptible. Am I right?
I recognize the jab. I'm going to choose to ignore it.
206, Stacey, getting back to the NFL schedule release.
Yeah.
They say, what do you mean you didn't know, Stacey? You've got your shoulder pads ready.
Okay.
Oh!
How does every single day, no matter what happens,
oh my goodness.
I don't like that you guys have clued listeners in to just constantly dog me. Everyone is always just making fun of me all day long.
What?
I don't know if it's
literally,
our fault.
No,
Curtis,
listen.
Hold on.
Went in the end zone when I was hosting with G. Someone walked by who I can only assume is a listener goes, look at that old lady, and keeps walking.
It's one of my favorite stories. Also, Curtis just roasted Stacey in the sports pit, and I had walked over to Stacey, and I just was like, hey, I'm so sorry. Tapped her on the shoulder.
Only felt shoulder pads.
And, there was about like
this is very hip and cool. My Gen Z kings and queens
two
are doing
inches,
it. It's all
2 inches
oversized.
Of thickness on those shoulder pads. I mean,
I want to look like
a little, be proud of those shoulder
it's
pads.
It's a little excessive.
Me and John Taffer of Bar Rescue have the same size clothing, and that is the plan. Last episode.
Headline rewrite.
Headline number three, the Warriors had a chance to eliminate the Ja Morant-less Grizzlies, but they were blown up by 39 points last night, a new franchise worst.
Oh boy.
What's the real headline?
Grizzlies quickly taking over the mantle of America's team from the Bucks. Am I wrong? I thought that was a good headline. I thought that was like fitting, a good description.
Really?
To me, everyone I know is rooting for the Grizzlies. Everyone loves the Grizzlies. Everyone loves Ja Morant, but obviously,
yeah, I would
see
love
Golden
to know
State
if
as
any.
Big
I would love
for
to know
the playoffs now.
No, who, I know, but I think that it's seen
who else
as, first
is on
of all,
the
like
Grizzlies?
Midwestern team, huh?
Who else is on the Grizzlies?
Oh, they're not going to admit.
Of course, you got Jaren Jackson.
Of course, you
Jr.
got. Yeah, everyone knows
Triple
that.
Triple J. Desmond Payne.
Of course, you got.
Okay.
I believe you got.
You got
Steven Adams. He's
you
on
got
that
Steven
team.
Adams. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can you name anybody else without my help, Stacey?
Yeah, you got. Paul.
Paul?
You got Paul.
Paul, what's his last name?
Dan.
Stacey, I don't see a Paul on the roster.
Paul Dan?
Paul Dan. He's a center.
No.
He's not as well known.
Joke being that. That's pretty much everybody in the NBA that is rooting for the Grizzlies. All they know is Ja Morant. But, you know, they've got a pretty good team together. It's a fun team, and obviously Ja Morant is the star, and he leads the team in points, rebounds, assists, and steals. But, you know, and it is absolutely electric. But it is amazing to see them in this situation blow out the Warriors.
Yeah.
And are the Warriors going to respond in
yes,
the right way?
I think the Warriors will close this out tomorrow
in
game six.
Okay, I will remember this, and if it is the case, you will be right, and congratulations, you were smart all along.
I am.
But
I passed all four sections of the waffle. It may or may not come up in Hype Train.
The Grizzlies might, you know, they might take down the Warriors. I mean, we'll make this a little bit of an interesting series here. I'm excited to see.
Get back to the Seahawks offseason, figure out the latest. When is this DK Metcalf contract being done? Brady Henderson joining us next.
This is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, it is Brady Henderson, Seahawks reporter for ESPN. Brady, how's it going?
Hey, Stacy, going well. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're just waiting for the schedule release. Not sure if you heard that was happening today. So, there's been...
I have heard, yes.
Yeah, plenty of leaks coming out. Hey, have you heard about any other leaks outside of just that Seahawks game in Munich?
I have, but, you know, I've learned that those are not always reliable. I saw something about the Denver game being in week one, mm-hmm. But again, who knows? I mean, I'll believe it when I see it.
Right.
I mean, that game is an obvious matchup for primetime, whenever it is. But, the only one I've seen is – the only leak I've seen, I think, is that. And then I would imagine that they're going to have their bye on the back end of the Munich trip, just as most teams who fly internationally or playing an international game do. It just makes a lot of sense, and that's what they did last time. So don't know anything concrete other than the Munich game, and then I would be willing to bet that they've got a bye after that.
Now, Brady, you have an interesting thread that you posted on Twitter yesterday talking about the amount of primetime games that we can anticipate as Seahawks fans here post, you know, Bobby Wagner, Russell Wilson. And you broke down the number of primetime games they had the entire Pete Carroll era. What was the thing that stood out to you about that?
The big takeaway, Jake, is that they had a lot of primetime games after Russell Wilson arrived, and that probably isn't a surprise when you consider that quarterbacks kind of make the world go round in the NFL. And, you know, they had zero in the last year under Jim Mora when they were terrible. They had zero in Pete Carroll's first year. They had two in 2011 and then two in 2012, which was Russell Wilson's rookie year. Of course, the schedule came out before he was even drafted. So every year after his rookie season, they had at least four and sometimes five. And so, and even, you know, coming off of the 2017 season when they missed the playoffs and they won seven games, they still had five primetime games plus an international game in London the next year. So I think that just goes to show, you know, there's a lot of primetime appeal when you have a star quarterback like that. And for that reason, I would imagine that they're not going to have nearly as many. I mean, I imagine that Denver game, because of it'll be Wilson's return, I imagine that game will be in primetime. But it would not surprise me if they only have one more primetime game in addition to that. And it wouldn't shock me if that's the only one, just because, again, the schedule makers like the star quarterbacks, and the Seahawks don't have a star quarterback right now.
DK Metcalf contract extension took the backseat to some other news stories here in Seattle and nationally, obviously. But we've since heard some rumblings that that could pick up. What's the latest you're hearing?
Yeah, I have not heard anything specific on that. I just know that their typical timetable for those types of extensions, you know, for guys who are already under contract, is that typically happens around the start of training camp. So there may not be a whole lot of news on that front for a while now. But, you know, we do know, we have heard, you know, DK Metcalf, he told Shannon Sharp again recently that he feels confident that something's going to get done. I think Pete Carroll, I can't remember where it was, but he made, I think last week, what I thought was his strongest comment yet, expressing the most confidence that they're going to get something done. I think the A.J. Brown deal that got done when he was traded during the draft, I think that is the most applicable deal to DK Metcalf, just because it's a guy who was in the same draft as Metcalf, the same age. For whatever it's worth, they happen to have the same agent as well. But that was, I think, a four-year, $100 million contract. And I think that is more of a baseline for DK Metcalf than, you know, the Tyreek Hill and the Devontae Adams deals, is because those guys are at different points in their career. Older guys who have, you know, for as much as DK Metcalf has done in 3 years, those guys have accomplished way more. And so I don't see those as an apples to apples comparison the way I see AJ Brown. And if you look at their numbers, AJ Brown and DK Metcalf, over the exact same time frame, Metcalf has been healthier. He's been more productive in terms of catches, yards, and touchdowns. And so $25 million, I see that as the absolute baseline for DK Metcalf. And again, I think that deal will have more bearing on what deal he ends up signing than the Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams deals.
Now, Brady, one of the things that's interesting to me about that is that you have somebody like A.J. Brown, and heard Mike Garofalo talk about how, you know, look, A.J. Brown, his contract may turn out to be on paper 25, you know, mil per year, but it's really 23. Is that how, you know, players like DK Metcalf and their agents look at it, or do they try to push based off of the, you know, overall number that is projected out there and try to surpass that particular number?
Yeah, that's a good question, and I don't have a good feel for that, but it's a good point that you make, that a lot of those deals, and I think this is maybe true of the Tyreek Hill deal too, that, you know, you look at the overall number, the overall average, and with the way the contract is structured, you know, there's a good chance that the player is not going to see in the final few years of that deal, and a lot of these big deals, especially a guy that old. And so, you know, you can look at it's X years and X amount and it's X average. But in reality, if you look at it as a practical matter, it's you know, maybe different than that, because the player is realistically only going to see part of that deal. And so, but that's true of a lot of these mega deals. And so you know, again, it's the same agent doing AJ Brown's deal as DK Metcalf's deal. And so he was obviously willing to do that sort of deal with the Eagles and AJ Brown. And so it's hard to say exactly what the deal is going to look like, but it's a good point you make that, you know, the average is, it's only the average on paper, and it's not always the average of what the guy is actually going to make.
You wrote about what Kenneth Walker being in Seattle, what that pick could mean for Chris Carson's future, not just in 2022, but obviously beyond. I know that there aren't many additional details about Chris Carson's health, and we aren't going to find out much of anything until the start of training camp. But to you, Brady, do you think the Seahawks view Ken Walker as someone who can be their RB1 moving forward, or as a guy that's going to be part of like a two-headed monster?
I think that just the days of the solo, like, workhorse running back, I mean, I think Marshawn, we were all maybe kind of spoiled by Marshawn Lynch when he was, like, the true number one guy, and, you know, Derrick Henry is probably that guy, but, I mean, outside of that, I don't know if that guy really exists in the NFL, so I think any team, you know, with the exception of those rare occasions, is going to be looking at some sort of a rotation, but I do think that, yeah, I think that they view Ken Walker, I want to call him Kenneth or Kenny, but he prefers to go by Ken. So I got to get used to that. But yeah, I think they view Ken Walker as, you know, eventually he is going to be the lead guy in that rotation. And, you know, I don't think they would have drafted him as highly as they did. You know, I know that was not a popular pick among some people who thought that was, you know, for a rebuilding team, maybe a little bit too high to draft a running back position that does not, you know, typically have as much value as others. But I think that pick for those reasons would not have made sense for other teams, but I think it made plenty of sense for the Seahawks just with how much they want to run the ball. And as you mentioned, the injury questions with Carson and Rashad Penny. I mean, you know, Rashad Penny has missed 30 of a possible 69 games, including playoffs, because of injury. And as magnificent as he was at the end of last season, I just don't know if you can count on him. And I really don't know if they can count on Chris Carson. Now, the word that Pete Carroll used was uncertainty, and that's kind of what they have projected. And I just wonder if, given the nature of the injury and the fact that they took a running back as high as they did, I wonder if there may be some actual doubt, you know, beyond just uncertainty. Like, I wonder if there's actual doubt that he's going to be back. And again, it's just the nature of the injury. And do you want to clear a guy knowing that, you know, it's not like clearing a guy off a knee injury or a wrist injury. This is a neck injury. And so I just wonder if there may be some trepidation there. And I think that explained the Ken Walker pick at 41 overall.
Yeah, lots of Seahawks fans watching that one closely. He is Brady Henderson, covers the Seahawks for ESPN. Make sure you're reading his work at ESPN.com. Brady, thanks so much.
Okay, Stacey and Jake, thanks for having me. See ya.
Thanks, Brady.
This hour of Jake and Stacey brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up in NFL headlines, Chargers throwing some shade at Russell Wilson? That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
This hour of Jake and Stacey brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Let's take a look around the rest of the NFL. The Jags have signed number one overall pick Tyrone Walker to a $37.4 million rookie contract. They agreed to that. It's mostly guaranteed. That, according to Mike Garafalo and NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport, Walker expected to sign that deal today if he hasn't already. Does it still surprise you that Walker slipped right up to the number one overall pick ahead of Aiden Hutchinson? Because that was an odds for the number one overall pick that flopped between something like 11 different guys or something like that. There was Evan Neal at one point, Kayvon Thibodeau, Aiden Hutchinson, Trevon Walker, and obviously a couple of these guys switched from being favored first and then slipping down and then favored first again. So there were like 11 changes or 11 different odds set.
Correct.
But you didn't really know who it was going to be for sure. There was no Trevor Lawrence tank for Trevor kind of situation happening.
No, there wasn't. One of the things that I would say is it doesn't surprise me because Trevon Walker was truly one of the freakiest human beings that has come through the process in quite some time. I mean, I think people really underestimate the measurables of Trevon Walker, and you can see how someone would fall in love with his traits and look at Georgia and say, look, at 6'5", 272 pounds, he ran a 4'5", 140, 35.5 vertical jump. You know, his three-cone drill is 6'8", 9". I mean, just all those measurables are truly tantalizing. And yeah, he played for an amazing defense in Georgia, and you could look at his sack numbers and say, well, that doesn't excite me. How's he have those stats and become the number one overall pick? Because it's a projection game as well. That if Trevon Walker in the Jag scheme can solely focus on being a pass rusher at the defensive end position, that he will find more success. This is an upside pick. It's a riskier decision than Aiden Hutchinson, who I think was more of the sure thing. That's why a friend of the show, Dan Campbell, he said, heck with what the NFL wants. I'm submitting this card right away and selecting Aiden Hutchinson, Stacey, because that guy has all of the intangibles. He has all of the things, the measurables, and also the production that makes this a slam dunk pick for us. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson has to go prove that himself at the NFL level, but yeah, it's not surprising to see the Jags take a leap of faith, I would say, with somebody like Trevon Walker, and now they're just crossing their fingers, hoping that it pays off for them.
File this one under NFL schedule leaks, not announcements. Again, the NFL schedule will be announced today at 5 p.m. You can hear that during Wyman and Bob. But before then, we do have at least one leak about Seattle's schedule. And I'm not going to read all of them, but this one coming from multiple verified sources and NFL insiders, so I will mention this one at least. According to Vic Lombardi, among others, including some Denver reporters, Seattle will open their season Monday Night Football Week 1 against the Broncos. Hosting the Broncos.
So that is the rumor that is out right now.
The rumor right now from Vic Lombardi, among others,
okay.
rumor, is that Seattle will open their season at home Monday Night Football Week 1 hosting the Denver Broncos.
What's so special about that?
I don't know.
I mean,
Noah Fant revenge game, Shelby Harris.
Let's talk about it as the Noah Fant revenge game for the entire week.
Cool, that wouldn't be cool.
Who do the Broncos have that we would even know about?
Curtis, I'm going to use that joke right now.
All right. Putting it down for tomorrow's NFL headline rewrites headline rewrites. Look, if this ends up happening, one, I will be happy because Stacey and I made a bet on donuts, so if that does come true, she's going to have to bring in donuts.
That's the bet that I meant to mention. I'm very excited about it.
So she was betting week two. I was betting
week one.
Either
way, I'm getting donuts, it would appear.
That's true. Curtis, either way,
you win. I'm the big winner.
Yeah, you are the big winner in all of this. But the NFL potentially wasting no time to bring Russ Bright back here to Seattle. And, man, that's going to be quite the show. That's going to be something. You know, it's going to be really weird to see him in a Broncos uniform here in at Lumen Field, and it'll also be interesting to see what the crowd reaction is going to be like and what that game ultimately ends up being, right? So there's so many storylines in there, and you're talking about week one. Of course, the NFL put this one together.
All right. Well, that one a rumor, this one an actual announcement. As you know, schedule announcements have been made prior to the regular season being released later today at 5 p.m. We've had international games announced, Seattle one of those, at Tampa Bay, on the road in Munich. You had a couple other ones released. This one not to do with Seattle, but it is a Super Bowl 55 rematch. On October 2nd, week 4 of the season, the Kansas City Chiefs will visit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That one, the latest game announced in the NFL schedule.
All right. Latest game announced. I can't
They're wait. They're just doing it game by
game. I can't wait for a game that is the latest game on the schedule. Skip week one, skip week two. Who cares about those games? Let's just get to the end of the season already.
Announce week 17.
I've always said week 10 is the most important week on the calendar. No one's listened to me.
Do you call week 10 a must week? That's when you can go must win.
Must
week 10
win?
Is when you go must win.
Oh, man. Have to.
Now, I understand why the NFL and ESPN have been releasing specific games. For instance, hey, this is going to be one of the Christmas Day tripleheaders. This one's going to be an Amazon streaming game. This one's going to be the first Thursday night game, right? Like, I understand why some of those are being announced. And then you have things like this. Chiefs-Bucks, Super Bowl 55 rematch. What I want is, like, Jags-Panthers, Week 16.
No one cares about.
Of course, you got Giants Jets.
Oh, man.
Week 8.
Commanders taking on the Falcons.
Releasing now, the Washington Commanders will have a Week 7 bye.
Oh,
just
wow.
That by itself. Woo,
I mean,
wow.
Stacey, I mean, like we said, this is what you put a party together for. I mean, you're looking for an excuse for a party? I mean, this is it right here, 5 p.m. Let's go.
I guess.
Come on.
I guess.
What do you mean, I guess? You live for this.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I do. Don't stop giving. I don't need more of an excuse to order a pizza tomorrow. I really don't. all right. Mariners insider Shannon Dreher going to join us next. How does this team get right on their trip to New York? That's next.